it back.
Salutations and shit, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of your favorite travel podcast, Travel and Shit, where I, your host, D. Carrie, have an experiential conversation about the nuanced ways that travel intersects with regular life. And that is heavy on what today's episode is going to be about. So this week, I want to talk about the ways that I've been seeing my travels intersect with home and like the way I see home in my travels. So follow me here. Remember, I was telling you guys in a past episode how I just really wasn't necessarily in. I'm in a new era, new stage of life, new season. And I am really feeling like this is a personal spring. This era in my life is a lot of newness, a lot of new things. I recently redecorated a lot of shit in the house. New furniture, new dishes. I have my first big girl set of dishes. I am so very excited about. I'm almost 40 years old and I've never had matching dishes. Like, I always just took like the plates from my grandma's house. Like, once I'm, oh, grandma, you don't want this set? This, all right, yeah, well, China, whatever. I don't care. You're not using it. You want, cool, I'll take it. Or grandma got a new set. I'll take the old ones. It's because it's always just been me. My partner moved in a couple of years ago. So it's us now. And so we are living this beautiful, loving, incredible life together. Real talk, like, I am like very happy in my regular life. And it's a beautiful thing to say. Happy to be here. But it feels good making this home feel more like our home as opposed to the apartment that I have been in for over 10 years. I've been looking at the same furniture. I've been looking at the same shit. I have most of the same stuff. Well, at least I had most of the same stuff since I moved on my own in like 2008. So it's almost 20 years I've been looking at the same furniture. So I have been enjoying getting new visuals. And as I'm looking at the furniture choices that I've made, the color palettes, and I'm looking at different design styles, it's giving past trip experiences. And so I started thinking about the different trips that I've been on, and I'm like, well, what are the things that generally stand out to me when I do travel? And for me, it's generally the accommodation, the location, like the neighborhood that I'm in, and the views, like what's the sell? Like, what am I able to look at? What's surrounding me? What does the flora and fauna look like? Because as much as I am a city girl, I love being outside. I love nature. I love trees. I love greenery. I love the ocean. I am a beach girl, not a pool girl. And so I'm realizing that many of the same things that I, you know, look for or enjoy very much on my travels are the same things that I enjoy or, I guess, yeah, the things that I enjoy about home. And behold, intersection. So that's what I want to dive into this week. I also said previously that I, while in this new space, I haven't necessarily been called to travel in the same ways or in the, I don't want to say the same fashions, but I just don't have that wanderlust, that like call and cry to just go, 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 go. I used to just always want to, like, I was always booking a trip. Like, I've had a year, if not multiple years, where I was out of my house every month and I wouldn't change it for the world. It was an incredible time. I might've cried. I don't know if it was like a month ago or a couple of weeks ago. I was just remembering that girl, and I was that girl. My solo travel stage was kind of lost for words. I wish that for every person. I wish it kind of felt like a summer abroad, but like for almost like a decade of life, if that makes sense. I wasn't traveling for no decade, but just the early 30s was such a great fucking time. And I can attribute that to how much I explored. I tried so many new things, new places, shit, new people, not just new foods and new beers and new drinks, but you know, you try on different versions of yourself. Like, I know that when I look at like my younger cousins or my nieces and nephews, like my friends' kids and stuff like that, I try not to give the young people any smoke when they go through like different little phases or little, ooh, what's that action or that little, you know, I don't want to say talk back or, but like, what are some of the things that are seemingly not like you? And I'm talking about like the 12 or the 13 year old. And it's kind of like, well, kids are supposed to push the boundaries. They can test out being a mean girl. They can test out being, you know, a jock, or they can test out being some of these more, you know, traditional or stereotypical personality roles, if you will, and then realize that like that's not them, or that's not for them, or they don't like the way they made someone feel. Like, sometimes those experiences are necessary in life, especially early on when you're still testing things out, so that you can do better as you get older. And there are also adults, there are also experiences that adults have in life. Not necessarily do I want to be a mean girl, or do I want to be, you know, Miss Congeniality or Mr. Congeniality and be friends with everybody, but kind of like, okay, so am I, what type of saver am I? Or what type of planner am I? What type of time management person am I? We go through different phases in life where we test out and try out different kind of ways of being, just to see like what fits us. And that was somewhat of what that early 30s was for me, the solo travel and the experiences. And I'm just not in that space anymore. It's not that I don't want to go anywhere. It's just that my personal goals are different. I am now a different saver than I was at 32. I was blowing my money on all kinds of dumb shit because I could. It was just me and my dog. I had no kids. I still don't have no kids. So, but it's just, I was able to just indiscriminately spend my money on whatever I wanted. And I fucking loved that for me. I had such a good time. I blew so much fucking money, and I would absolutely do it again. And I would absolutely tell y'all to do the same shit if you can. And I'm just in a different space now. My personal goals and life goals are just different than they were then. So now I have things that I want to save for. And so while I have those things on my personal horizon that I'm working on, spending money on trips just isn't there right now. So all of those things combined, and taking, I don't want to say taking my time, but taking a bit of a hiatus on the go, 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 go of traveling, I'm seeing what I am going to tentatively call the after effects of travel, like the effects of travel. And it's kind of like, you know, you go through your album, or you're talking to somebody about something, and you're scrolling through the feed, and your personal feed, I mean, like in terms of just like your photo roll, like you're looking through the photos that you've taken at different places or on different trips, or you're talking about some kind of food that you had, and you say, oh shit, I had that here. And so now you're showing your coworker your phone and pictures and stuff, right? So you're going through there and you're just reflecting. We here, at least in the travel and shit world, we reflect on past travels often. And now that I'm slowing down, I've been reflecting a bit more, and not even like intentionally, not on some, let me sit down and think about past travels. It's just, it comes up. Things just come up in life. And a lot of it has been quite interesting. So let me move this over. One of the things that like I always loved about travel was the opportunity to stay someplace that felt like it was going to be nicer than where I lived. And those kind of came into different categories. So again, remember, this episode is about where home intersects with my travels and the things that I love about my home that actually show in my travels, right? So I mentioned neighborhood, view, and accommodations. So in terms of neighborhoods, I fucking love my neighborhood. I still live in the neighborhood that I grew up in. I am a New Yorker. I'm a Queens girl. And I spent some time in Long Island for school. And then I got my first place not far from where I went to school. And class of 2007, graduated college in 07. I have no real allegiance to my college, so it is what it is. But shout out to my sorority sisters. We are, I think, spring 05. We are, what is that? 18 years, right? Is that math right? I remember doing the math closer to, where's my calculator? Let's see. 2007. Well, that's not the way I wanted to do it. 24 minus 2007. 17. We are 17. Skiwi, my sorors. Skiwi. So, neighborhoods. Spent a little time in Long Island. I'm a Queens girl, and I love that I am back basically where I grew up. And one of the things that I love about a neighborhood when I travel is its walkability. I have stayed in some really, really kick-ass areas, and that is something that I specifically look for when I'm traveling, when I know that I am not necessarily going there for anything in particular. Like if I'm going to, for example, we went to North Carolina maybe a year or two ago for, look at that, college. I had mentioned college for my college roommate's wedding. Happy new baby. Congratulations to Mary and Justin. They had their first child together. And congratulations to Ethan, who is now a big brother. But when we went down for Mary's wedding, we knew where the fuck we had to be. So we stayed in that general area. So choosing like a neighborhood is not necessarily high on the list because I'm not going to make this more difficult for myself, right? But when I am just going to an area for shits and gigs just to go, the neighborhood is going to be something that I put thought into. So some of the best neighborhoods that I've been in is the best trips with the best neighborhoods were Canada, Rome, Colombia, and Tel Aviv, actually. And I say Canada because in Canada, in Banff, the neighborhood wasn't a neighborhood. We stayed like at a resort or some shit, like a winter lodge or whatever. I don't know. It might've been a timeshare, but Montreal and Toronto, however, anytime we've gone to Montreal, we have stayed in a different neighborhood. Like we generally kind of put ourselves around, I forgot the name of that park that I love, just Millie Rocked to the left and out of my brain, but maybe it'll come back. Maybe it won't. Oh, La Fontaine. I think it's a Park Fontaine or something like that. But anyway, we generally place ourselves around that park because I love that park and the shit in the area is incredible and I always want to be walking distance to Le Virunga. But those neighborhoods, that area, the area that we stay around that park in Montreal, love it. We can walk everywhere. We park the car, don't have to touch it. If I'm driving someplace, I specifically look for someplace that has parking so that I do not have to touch my car. Especially because he's already driven us all the way there. I don't want to have to drive around that city when we get there. So the neighborhoods that I love the most were in Montreal and Toronto in terms of Canada. In Italy, I only stayed in Rome. Yes, I only stayed in Rome. I believe that I stayed in Trastevere. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but that was another area that was absolutely fucking fantastic. When I tell y'all, I did not take a single Uber. I didn't take the bus except for to get me to and from the airport. But in Rome, I walked everywhere. And by everywhere, I mean everywhere. Like all of the little main touristy attractions you can think of, I was able to walk to from my Airbnb. The Colosseum, the Parthenon. I went to the Hand of Truth or something like that. Vatican City. Did I go to Manifest Center? No, I don't think I did. Damn, I made. Did I? I think I did. I think I did. Where else did I go out there? I walked everywhere, and I just randomly would pick something, and nothing was more than 2 miles away, maybe three on like a long shot. But that was one of the best centralized locations I could have chosen for myself. Columbia, relatively similar. Where I stayed, I was able to walk almost everywhere that I went. There were, of course, areas that I went to that were like a couple of hours out, or, you know, maybe an hour or less away, but just like weren't where I was immediately staying. But there was a shit ton of stuff in the area that I was able to do. I was able to walk down to the, I guess, the pier or the docks, if you will, so that I could take the ferry to, I think I went to Rosario Islands. That was in walking distance. There were really good breakfast especially, but there was a really good breakfast spot that was near where I stayed, and like different meetup spots were in walking distance for other excursions and shit that I was doing. And I did take a taxi a couple of times, but I was also near a main area so that I could easily get to taxis and they could easily drop me off without having to charge me, like, you know, that upcharge for going like deep down and into certain areas. So that worked out nicely for me. And also, I remember doing a lot of walking around in Tel Aviv. I went to Israel maybe 2018 or 2019. It was in, I think, November. I want to say it may have been November of like 2018 I went. I remember it wasn't too long after my grandfather had passed. You know what it was? It was right when Miss Universe or Miss World, beautiful, beautiful black woman, had her hair shaved like mine. She had a Caesar also. Is this a Caesar? I feel like this is a Caesar. I don't know. One of y'all know whether I'm correct or not, but, oh, and you'll know if you're watching this beautiful face of mine on the YouTubes. The podcast is also available there. And she had one that year because I remember someone had translated for me at the bus or the train station. The ticket agent was telling me, oh, you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. You're like Miss Universe or Miss Glow, whatever the thing was. I remember there was a lot of buzz about it. And this guy next to me was telling me that this is what the ticket lady was saying to me. And it was just like, oh, thank you so much. Ew, yay me. But that was a fun experience. I'll never forget that shit. But where I stayed in Tel Aviv was very walkable to tons of shit. I stayed near like an open market, which I slept through because they had like shut down by like 3 o'clock. And the day that I woke up was probably like 2:30. And so I missed that, but I was able to walk to some really like excellent, excellent food options on different spots were walkable. The tattoo spot that I went to, I walked to the, I didn't get into too much. I really just did a lot of walking. I just on foot exploration. And that was quite enjoyable for me. So those were like the really fun neighborhoods that I remember having a decent time just being very central. That's not all of them, but those are the ones that come to mind the most, or at least first. In terms of the best views that I've had, I have a second floor apartment, and while it's not the most incredible view from my apartment, I can see a lot of the trees from where I am. I can kind of see all the trees down the block. And when everything is in bloom, it is so pretty. And so that is something. And I have a really, really great sunset. I have a really big window in my living room and the sun rises beautifully. I have a very east-facing window and a west-facing back window. And so we catch really great sunsets in the back of the apartment, and then we get really great sunrises in the front. So I love that about where I live. And so a view is very important to me when I'm traveling. And if I have the option, I'd rather spend up or pay, choose a different location to have someplace that has outdoor space, because I love a good balcony. Oh, I forgot about the balcony in fucking Cuba. That definitely needs to go on the list because I enjoyed sitting on that little balcony. And I feel like I was probably only like the second or the third floor. But again, it was in a very residential neighborhood. So it was so nice to just see regular people doing regular shit. Kids outside playing, somebody driving up the music, driving up the block, music blasting. Then you just stop. You stand there, you like you're in the car for like 5 minutes doing whatever the fuck you're doing. Then you pull off the block. People on top of their buildings just sitting out because it's fucking hot as shit outside. And it was a really, really great view for the type of shit that I like looking at. Sometimes I enjoy a very wow, just experiencing regular shit someplace else. Sometimes there is joy in the mundane. You don't necessarily have to do, you know, big bad up in a and out. You don't have to go big to enjoy yourself. And I definitely remember finding so much joy and peace in just the feeling very local. I felt like I kind of just blended in. You know, I didn't feel like I was intruding, if you will. You just shut up and mind your business and you just sit on your balcony while everybody else is sitting on their shit and just, it is what it is. But Norway, absolutely incredible, incredible view. I had a really nice picture window and I looked across like this huge body of water and I could see the mountains all across. And then, like, you know, you could see the lights for the different houses dotted across the coast of it. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So Norway, and the bed was maybe, it was like a little basement apartment. So it was not a one bedroom, but like a little loft space, you know, like not really loft, but it was just a cute little loft apartment because there were no rooms. There was just a little step up and you had the like kitchen area, and then there was like a step down and the bed, desk, there was like a closet. Simple, simple accommodations. They were nice, don't get me wrong. They were cute, like super cute. But that view was it. The view was everything. It was insane, absolutely beautiful. Spain. So while I was, you know what, before I get to Spain, let me just mention Joshua Tree, because I actually didn't write it down, but Joshua Tree was fucking beautiful. We had a fenced-in backyard, so we didn't necessarily have like expansive views, but depending on where we would sit in the yard, like I think if we like sat in the fire pit, we could see the mountains a little yonder, if you will, further out in the distance. But when we sat in the front, and they also had like a cute little table, like a little coffee table. You put like not a coffee table like in a living room, but like an outdoor where you have like, you know, like if you're going to a coffee shop and they've got that little that round table and the two little chairs, really all you can fit is like a really small breakfast order. And I'm talking like a bagel, maybe a muffin, and your coffee, like that tiny little kind of table setup. They had one of those in the front. And we were like surrounded by mountains. Granted, we were on a residential street. Like this was clearly a neighborhood, but in the expanse, in the distance was just mountains. And then to the left, since we were at the end of said block, it was giving desert. So it wasn't desert. I cannot remember how far we can see, but there were no houses. Like there was maybe two houses, like right across the street, but then beyond there, I don't think there were any houses. I think it was just open space. So it had so much more to see in the front, considering we weren't fenced off, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. The cacti and just like the more dry ground. It was really nice to be in a more desert environment, a drier space, considering I live in the Northeast. Like we don't have that here, so that was nice to experience. I was up in Spain. Spain was cute little apartment, but the view was incredible. Again, I'm looking out the window, all I see is mountains. I was in the middle of nowhere. It was really nothing for me to do in that general area. I tried to go to their little local area. I think I took a cab there. Really left a lot to be desired, but that view was beautiful. And Guadeloupe, I stayed directly across the street from the beach. Between the water and me was a parking lot. And it didn't even really feel like an egregious parking lot. I feel like it was just like parking for some of the tenants of the complex that I was staying in. I rented an Airbnb And it was really cool because it was this lady's apartment and it was a cute space. She actually had a pole, like a stripper pole, in the living room. If you've never tried it before, I'm promising you, you can think it's nothing if you want. It is a lot of athleticism required to be able to lift and spin yourself around a pole. To even not do anything but to just hold yourself on the pole still takes a lot of muscle. But that was fun. And Community Cats, their kitchens are actually outside. There's a sliding door that separates the kitchen from like the living room space, the same way like your back patio or your back deck, but your entire kitchen is out there. The fridge, I want to say, was inside in the living room, but the stove, the sink, all that shit outside. And then it's covered, thankfully. And there's like a ledge. And the cats would come into the apartment that way. So they were community cats. So the host actually left food and water. And I was tasked with making sure there was food and water and cleaning the litter box. Thankfully, I was not there too long. I think I was only there for 5 days, 4 days, or whatever. The cats were chill. I am not a cat girl. Love kittens. Cats, not so much. Just because I'll never know if we could trust each other. I don't know if I could trust you. You don't know if you could trust me. And you're acting like you don't know if you could trust me. So that makes me not know if I can trust you. You feel me? One of them liked me. The other one, you know, came to say what's up and then just disappeared. But fun experience. I woke up to the sound of the beach every morning. I went to bed with the sound of the ocean. I could open the slat blinds in the bedroom and see ocean. Ocean. It was absolutely incredible. Honorable mention to Bermuda. Again, I had a beautiful view. There's this bridge that comes to from the airport to, I guess, I don't want to say a mainland because Bermuda is an island, but there's a huge bridge that you take. And I stayed at the Grotto Bay, I think it's Beach and Spa Resort, but Grotto Bay in 2017, it was a dream. Based on my experience in 2017, I would highly recommend. I don't know how things have shaken up between then and now, but after being there in 2017, I would absolutely give it a shot again. But so that to say that I could see that bridge and I was close enough to be able to see, you know, flights taking off and landing because I could see the airport from, you know, my room or even if I sat out on the balcony and ocean. Ocean. It was beautiful. I've had some incredible views. And in terms of accommodations, like I'd started to mention earlier, sometimes there's a lot of fun in choosing someplace that looks nicer than yours. Someplace that has more updated finishes. I don't have a dishwasher, so someplace that has a dishwasher. Even if I'm not using the dishwasher, generally I'm not there long enough to use the dishwasher, but I'm at least load that bitch before I go. But like really nice bathroom fixtures with like waterfall showers or just like really fly tile patterns. Just the little tchotchkes and the nicks and the knacks. And some places have been absolutely incredible. Now, granted, there are beautiful hotels. However, I don't live a hotel life. So I really, this is a fun one to watch. I really had to just drop my own jaw and run. For those of you that know me in my personal life, you might say, run that tape back. Run that tape back. You what? You don't live a hotel life? When I tell you my partner does, I'm a fucking princess. He does all the cooking. I get driven to work most days of the week. He takes really, really great fucking care of me. And hotels do the same thing. A hotel does have the staff that will take good care of you. So I was going to say I don't live a hotel life, but with the amount of accommodations that my partner makes for me and just the way he is absolutely acts of service type of person. And that is my love language. That is how he shows love. And that is one of the ways that I receive love. That's one of the ways he shows love. And it's one of the ways that I receive love. So that's a great part of our relationship. And so I would like to amend that statement and say that I don't live in a hotel. So a lot of things are different, right? I don't have a staff here. We do everything ourselves for the most part. And so I don't necessarily see like staying or choosing a hotel that, what is a hotel if not really nice, right? Like we're not staying, I don't want to stay at a hotel that's got like that coverter, that coverter, that comforter cover. That's what we're gonna call that coverter. That's a new one. Jot that down. Let's make it happen, y'all. That coverter, comforter, and comforter and com cover. I think that's where I was going for. But you know the ones from like the 90s with all the floral or the geometric patterns, but like the janky hotel kind of pattern, like that red and green and cream kind of color thing, like the 90s. If you were there and old enough, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking those comforters. We don't want to stay in the hotels that still have those. So when we do stay at hotels, we stay someplace nice. And so I don't want to compare like my home life to a luxury accommodation or like a building worth a ship. But I'll say that we've had some incredible Airbnbs, and that is a little bit easier to gauge because a home is a home, apartment is apartment versus hotels, a chain at that. So Bali was hands down one of the nicest accommodations that I have ever stayed at. I had the entire house to myself. I think it had two bedrooms. I think it had two bedrooms. Like the upstairs was just all bedroom. It was all loft area. There was a bedroom down on the first floor where I also had my own pool. I had cute little kitchen. There was like a little open air koi pond in the, not the middle, but like to the left of the kitchen. Then you go upstairs and the bedroom is the entire second floor, and there's a balcony, windows complete, like 100 and, well, I guess more than 180 because it's, well, no, not 180 because it's not round, but I'd say one, two walls of windows. Great accommodations. Bali was beautiful. And then outside on the balcony, on the terrace, whatever you want to call it, you could see all the rice pa the rice fields, all the rice farms, or all of that space, all of that land, beautiful. And it was surrounding all on this side, and then on towards the back, it was more like trees, and you could see like maybe like one other house not too far. It gorgeous, gorgeous. So those were probably the nicest accommodations I'd ever stayed at. Vermont was also absolutely gorgeous. It was a cabin almost in the middle of nowhere. Another loft bedroom style, upstairs was just the bed, and downstairs had a little fireplace. Really cute bathroom for it being so tiny. Like they did a great job of like using the small space that they had. And even the kitchen was very small, but completely stocked. They had everything that you could possibly need, which was fantastic considering you're, I don't want to say isolated, but you're pretty far out. Like it's maybe like a 10, 15 minute drive, like through the woods. You got to go down like a really kind of windy path and kind of drive through a bit of nothing to actually get to where there are other houses and then to something. But Vermont was beautiful. And mind you, we were on like 22 acres of these people's property. They had two ponds and then the fucking woods. It was all just trees. So you go outside, all you see is beautiful open space, ponds, and then like the tree line forest. So Vermont was incredible, absolutely beautiful. But also the accommodations themselves were absolutely nice. Detroit. The Airbnb we stayed in Detroit was so cute. I absolutely saw myself, like if I had to live in any of the Airbnbs that I stayed in, that would be one of the top choices. Detroit had some really, really cute, touches. I remember the bathroom was nice. It was another loft. It was just not, it was, is that what they, what do you call them? Studio. There we go. 'Cause I'm like, I feel like loft is giving this a little bit more than I want to give it. No, it was a studio apartment. There we go. I know the words. Studio apartment, the area that had the bed in it had like, a big, like a day seat in the window. But it was kind of like a little bit lower than the bed. So it was kind of like you're sitting on the floor, but it wasn't like on the floor. So it was just really cute. And then there was like a little closet area, but it was an open kind of walk-in closet, but it was tucked away behind like this really nicely decorated corner where they had this huge mirror, record player, some records, and they had a couple of like really nice, I don't want to say toiletries, but like a nice dish with cotton balls, a nice dish with Q-tips, a nice, it was like not an awkward space because again, it's a studio apartment, but butcher block counters for the kitchen, a really, really cute apartment. I could absolutely see myself like living in a place like that. That's one of the things that I remember about the Detroit Airbnb is feeling like, oh no, if I had to choose like an apartment, I would want it to look like this. Also, Casablanca, I believe the Airbnb host that I stayed with was an architect, but she had an absolutely like gorgeous, gorgeous home. The this is when I don't know if it was just the choice that I made, or I don't know that there weren't as many options. Don't really know which way to go with it, but I rented a room in the Airbnb and other people had also rented rooms around the same time. And I think there was maybe one other person that had rented a room in the whole house. It was just beautiful. So gorgeously decorated. The colors were incredible. Her furniture choices, the artwork, everything about it was beautiful. It's just like one of those Architectural Digest houses you could see yourself perusing through a magazine and coming across. And she was a sweetheart, and her home was gorgeous. What else did I have? I have Cleveland, but I didn't mean Cleveland because we didn't sleep over in Cleveland. But Joshua Tree was also, that was another honorable mention that I wanted to put on there, is the not just like the surrounding, like beautiful shit to look at, but we did a whole house and I think it had two bedrooms, full bath, kitchen. The kitchen had really nice finishes. I remember really liking that. The table in the kitchen, the living room setup, the way like we were right on the window. It was a really, really nice layout there. And then the outdoor space, fire pit. They had an open garage, which would have been great for like workouts, dance, whatever kind of open big space you may need. That was nice. And also a washer dryer. So I have had some really beautiful experiences to pull from. And so I'm starting to see, I was sitting in the living room the other night and I'm sitting on the couch and I'm looking around and I'm kind of like, you know what? Why do I like these things, or where, what is it about this, or does this mean more than it is? Because then I'm thinking like, all right, so if we ever end up moving someplace larger, say we get a house one day, what's my theme? Like when I watch HGTV shows and you know the like, and they say, well, are you more traditional? Are you more modern? I don't know what I would decide. I just know what I like when I see it. I know what I don't like when I see it. But I didn't realize that I can also see some of my travels in some of the home decisions that I make. So at this point, God willing, I ain't going anywhere anytime soon. God willing, I will be here for quite some time. I love where I'm at. But I was looking at my furniture and whether it comes with me to the next place for what I spent on some of the shit. On these dishes ain't going nowhere. I spent a lot of fucking money on these dishes. I never thought I'd be that girl that spent this much on dishes. But I really like them. They are stoneware from fucking Portugal. And they can go through everything. The washer and the fucking dryer. Dishwasher, you can put it in the microwave. You can fucking bake the shit. You can freeze the shit. They're gorgeous. And I love them. Lulu and George. Like I found them on Pinterest also. So pro tip, if you're looking to refresh, if you too are in a new season, a spring, a personal spring, if you will, Just go through Pinterest and see a ton of just visual cues and see what you land on. And that's how I ended up finding my dishes. But I realized that I appreciate the dishware in Airbnbs when they have really nice glasses, or, oh, this silverware is actually really cute. Or check these mugs out, babe, because we will absolutely try to have a cup of coffee in the house if we can. But those are little things that I notice when I'm traveling, or when I go someplace, I notice that, oh, I really like these glasses, or damn, these plates is plating. Okay, I'm just there. Those are things that I notice and enjoy, right? And so it makes sense that when I am refreshing and pouring myself, because a lot of what this space I feel like in my life is wanting this version, the now version of me, to be reflected in the world, in my world around me, my personal, in the way that I dress, in my home, the things that represent me, the outward visual cues that say, this is D. This is what D represents. These are the things that matter to her, and these are the things that make her feel pretty, or these are the things that make her feel comfortable. These are the things that I've been focusing on, and I'm realizing that those things are a culmination of my personality and how I move through the world. And it follows. See, I told you to follow me. It took us a little while to get here, but I'm seeing how my experiences in travels, not even that far away. I'm still talking, continental US, going to different restaurants with my partner, going to different, even events in the city. All of the different places that you put yourself, all of the new surroundings, and all of the experiences in your life that affect you and your personhood and kind of move and shake how you move through the world, how you glide through, are going to be, for me at least, places that, or experiences that I can draw inspiration from. And so while I was looking around, I'm like, yo, something about some of these things is very familiar. And then it fucking clicked. The table and the chairs that I got belong in fucking Biblos. We went to Biblos in Miami. Boyfriend took me for my birthday. That was one of the, but when I tell you I've never eaten this well, if he not gonna do nothing else, he gonna find a good restaurant. He cooks his ass off. I tell you, my man cooks, honey. It's another reason why I want a really good, really nice plates. Y'all gonna be sick of me. Oh, remind me to ask y'all something at the end. That's not how this works, right? So let me say now. I want to know where you guys are. This episode is late, but where are you guys? I would like to communicate that to you. Are you on Instagram? Are you on Twitter? Is the email list better? So just shoot me something so that I can see where my listeners actually are. I like Twitter. I'm always on Twitter. I don't necessarily tweet too much, but I peruse. So I'm there. So I was going to tweet like the episode is going to be late, but I'm just like, I don't know if any of my actual, like, for those of you that actually listen to the episode, are y'all on Twitter? Do you even follow me on Twitter? And to the people that I follow and follow me on Twitter, like, do y'all even listen to the podcast? You feel me? That's what my confusion is. So to clarify that, I would like to know where my real ones, like you, the people that actually listen to the show, where on social media are you? Please just reach out to me wherever that is. Just shoot me a DM or a message or a comment on what I just want this to be easy for you. I am TRAVELNSH_T. So it's travel, the letter N, and then shit, but without the I. There is links are all in the description box. Are you on TikTok? Are you on Instagram? Just shoot me a message so that I know where you are and that when an episode is going to be late or something exciting happens, I know where the actual listener base is going to be able to be communicated and I can actually connect with you where you are. So I'd appreciate that. The links will all be in the description box for the social media platforms that I have. But Biblos. So really great restaurant. Loved it. We went out there and one of the things that I remember being very impressed by was the restaurant design. It was such a cool way to see the way like I decorated my apartments out in the wild. I am a fan of It doesn't necessarily have to be from a set. It just has to look good together. I just want cohesion. I've got a ton of things from this, from that, just found footage, if you will, of life. But it goes. And that's the way Biblos in Miami was decorated. Like, all of the tables and chairs looked like tables and chairs that could be in somebody's home. It was giving mid-century modern. It was giving Mad Men here. It was giving Boogie Nights here. It was giving Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me here. It was so many different energies, and it all worked. Like, all of the different tables had, like, this table looked like it could be from someone's kitchen in the 60s. This one, the table over here, the chairs they use, 1992. This is where that table came from. It just went so well, and it looked so cute. And I don't know what the design style is, maybe mid-century, maybe, I don't know, I don't know, but when I looked at my dining set, I'm like, oh, bitch, this is giving Biblos. Okay, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing that travel experience reflected in a personal decision that I've made for my home. The coffee table that I have actually reminds me of Joshua Tree for some reason, not because I saw the table there, I don't think. I'm pretty sure they didn't have that style of coffee table. But the energy of it reminds me of the decor, like the energy of the house that we stayed in out in Joshua Tree. It really was like, oh shit, I go figure. And I also just bought a new couch. And the new couch reminds me of the couch that was in the Goodwin Hotel in Hartford, Connecticut. We did an incredible road trip out there, and we even did like a mini photo shoot in the room that we stayed in, because I think we stayed in a suite where we had like a little living room slash kitchenette, and then we had a separate, like, it was a one bedroom hotel room. So we had the bedroom, we made the bathroom. It was actually a really tiny little, there were two really big, like almost to ceiling, but like maybe 12 foot cabinets, armoires, if you will, in like a little closet area by the bathroom, offset of the bedroom, but beautiful space, right? But they had this really nice blue couch. It was thinking, I think it was two of them. There was a chaise lounge. Like a lounge chair, you know, like the chaise, a little therapist chair. And then like a regular, maybe love seat or regular size, maybe like a 70 inch couch in that living room space. But that blue fabric couch reminds me of the blue fabric couch that I now have in my apartment. So, and I didn't even say, ooh, let's think of a couch that I really like. It's like, no, you're scrolling through all the couches. You look for the features that you like. I want a high back so I can lay, you know, so I can lean the fuck back. I want a deep seat so I can pull my feet up. I want it to have a pull-out bed or some type of capacity to have it turn into a bed without it being a futon. Because I'm the host house. Like, my cousins my age pull up. Y'all stay. They stay with me. My homegirls come into town. They stay with me. I want my people to be comfortable. I'm at that age where these things matter a lot to me. Being able to host with love and to make my guests comfortable while they're here. Those things are important to me. And I love that I am able to host them. And I just like to be able to add the extra little oomphs at the end. And it's not like I chose these pieces of furniture based on... What trip am I thinking? Yes, Amazon, find me this. No, you're just scrolling, you're looking, you check rating. Does it have the features I need? Does it have this? Is it the right size? And somehow you are just called to a particular item. That's the selection that you choose. And then after the fact, you see it. And so I love coming here every week to remind y'all that travel is so much more than vacation. There are so many different ways that you can talk about travel outside of just saying I went here and did this. There's going to be a time when I am able to put that into a really good, like, 3-line descriptive spiel, elevator pitch, if you will. And it's like, it's right here in my heart. And I feel like those of y'all that have been fucking with the show really get it also. And you follow me on it because y'all keep coming back. But I just really love that little piece of nuance where it's just, yeah, the trip was great, but there's so many other ways to discuss travel. And I love finding new little pockets and crevices of life where we can discuss it through the lens of travel. So I hope you guys enjoyed this week's conversation. I hope you guys are all in great personal eras and great personal seasons in life right now. The sun is not setting, or at least here on the East Coast, before 7 o'clock anymore. We are now well past 7:30. Your girl is happy. I'll be even happier when the sun is gone by 9. I appreciate y'all for being here. Again, my apologies for the episode being late, but please let me know where you guys are so that I can better communicate that to you, because I do appreciate you guys coming back every week and I would like to respect that. So I'll see y'all next week. Bye.